Bismillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hey guys, it is your girl Naima B. Robert here, and I am just so grateful to be here with you. And I would like to invite every single one of you to just take a second or two to just breathe and say alhamdulillah. And I say that because, you know, sometimes Allah just sends you when you need it. You read the thing you needed to read. You hear the thing you needed to hear. You see the thing you needed to see. And that happened to me today. And you can't see my face, but I'm still glowing. Asalaamu Alaikum, sis.
Wa Alaikum Asalaam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you doing, my dear Zakiya Bayina? How are you?
Alhamdulillah, Allah is merciful. Alhamdulillah, I am well overall. A little sleepy. I have a bad habit of not getting my sleep at night, but
Seen you, girl. I know already about you, up all hours. And the thing is, guys, I'm going to tell them a secret about you. So which time zone are you in?
I am in the Eastern time zone.
Which is what, 7 hours difference or something?
I think it's five right now. I think it's 5 hours difference between the UK.
Okay. So 5 hours difference, guys. Those of you who are in the UK, I'm online. Okay. It's 8 o'clock in the morning here. Then it's 10 o'clock in the morning here. Then it's 12 here. And all Zakiya is available on Facebook. And I'm like, girl, don't you sleep?
Well, you know, there's a theory about that usually, you know, there's still research out whether or not humans need sleep. So,
are you serious?
Oh, no, I'm joking.
Are you a conspiracy theorist?
No, I'm joking.
Alhamdulillah. You know, I just before you came on, I don't know whether you heard me, but I was just talking about how sometimes in life, Allah just sends you what you need when you need it. You know, you hear what you needed to hear, you see what you needed to see, you read what you needed to read, and it's just like, oh, yes, Allah, you know. Have you ever experienced that before?
Oh, yeah. Often, like, I get that all the time. Mm-hmm. When I'm going through something, Allah will allow me to hear something, read something, someone messages me all the time. I get these sorts of signs and just encouragements. Even if I log on to social media, it'll be like sometimes the first post I see, I'm like, Allah.
It was meant for me. Yeah, mashallah, alhamdulillah. I feel like, obviously, I'm going to ask you to plug the Black Muslim Festival. I want to talk about what we did on the weekend. But before that, I want to just have like a chit chat with you.
Yes.
Just like, you know, girl to girl, because this thing of fear right now, you've had, if you guys don't know Zakiya, I'm shocked. But if you don't, anyway, Zakiya, mashallah, she's, you know, best-selling author of multiple books. One of the pioneers of Islamic fiction. Mashallah, many of her books have become modern classics, and you know, she has made it her work to be as open and honest and vulnerable as possible with us through trials, through healing, through everything, mashallah. So you know that I have love for you, sis, and I rate you just for your moral courage, because you know how the community can be. It's hard.
And I want to apologize to the audience. For some reason, some construction, if they decided on this day to drill outside my window. So if you hear that, it's not my stomach growling or anything, you know. It's they're out there doing something. I'm not sure what it is. But yeah. But
inshallah, be okay.
But alhamdulillah, I will say, though, the decision to speak so openly is not easy. I pray a lot of istikhara. I am terrified every single time. Mm-hmm. I have to talk to Allah every single time. And some things I decide, no, I'm not going to do. Mm-hmm. And then some things, you know, I think I'm not going to do, but then Allah changes my heart to do
so,
it.
SubhanAllah. Look at that. Yeah. So what is your personal approach to fear? And I'm asking this as somebody who is in the public eye, who is doing public things, okay? Now, you might not be in the public eye, those of you who are listening, you may not be doing public things, but I think we all in our lives reach a point where we just feel gripped by fear, we're just like, oh, no, I can't do that. What if this happens? What if they say this? What if this is the outcome? You know, what if? And I've heard different people frame fear differently. Mm-hmm. So how do you frame fear?
Well, when in the context of, I'll say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, first of all, like in the context of something I feel like I either need to do or I know I should do and it's terrifying me, I was just actually writing, because I'm writing this book now. Well, you know,
Mashallah, you don't say. Mashallah. Girl, I want your grind, man. Seriously, mashallah. You need to tell me what your writing schedule is. Mashallah, tabarakallah.
Well, I think I write more than I live, you know. But so I was writing, and it's a book called I'm Divorced Now, Heartbreak and Healing, and it's my journey through that. Yes. And I was just writing yesterday a chapter about, you know, like, how do you find the strength to leave if you know something's not good for you? And I was responding. That's one of the questions I keep getting, because I ask people, what do you think, what would you like me to talk about? And I can't talk about everything, but the things that resonated with my heart. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the biggest questions, because they were saying women are so terrified, not necessarily because of what the man would do, but just the reality of life after that decision.
Yeah.
And so the question was, how do you get the strength to leave or to do what you know you need to do, mm-hmm. and get over that fear? Mm-hmm. And what I was explaining was that for me, I don't ever worry about getting over fear. I work with it.
Okay.
And for me, strength in the things that I need to do, whenever I look for strength and I feel like I need the strength, and many times, I don't want to say whenever, but many times, it actually hinders me from doing what I need to do. So I don't draw on strength. I draw on faith. So like, I don't look for the strength to do the things I need to do, because if I wait for that, I'm probably not going to do it.
Wow.
I just do it and trust that Allah is going to carry me broken. He's going to carry me weak, and he's going to carry me to the end.
Wow.
While I'm scared. So that's my approach.
That is a, wow. That's a shift. That's a real, I've never heard that before. So instead of waiting for or asking for even the strength.
Well, I ask.
You ask. No, but you don't wait.
I ask for strength. I do ask. But I know from my experiences in life that Allah sometimes gives you the strength after you take the first step.
Oh, okay.
And sometimes the strength comes after you've taken 1,000 steps.
Whew.
And so I'm more like, Allah, carry me weak, carry me broken, because you know my legs aren't working right now.
Wow.
I come to you humble. I come to you terrified, mm-hmm. but carry me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's my approach.
That's amazing. And I know people are going to be watching this and listening to it over again, you know, because I think everybody can relate to that. I certainly can, subhanAllah. So say, for example, you know, you said that you pray istikhara a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't see fear as like an answer to your istikhara? So I feel like we have this perception that if you pray istikhara and it's meant to happen, you're going to be mutma'in. You're going to be like calm with it. You're going to be like just chill and everything's going to be easy. And why do we have this perception? Maybe it's just me.
I didn't get that. Class.
She's like, what?
Maybe I'm doing it wrong. But no, but I have heard, but I'm part of me, you know, I have a bit of a joking aspect to me. But I've heard these, okay, I'm gonna be really honest. I've heard some of these explanations before.
Mm.
And I remember saying to a sister, a friend of mine, I was reading these long explanations from different scholars and students of knowledge, may Allah bless them. No. but I was joking. I was holding the paper and I looked at her. I said, if we had all of this ability, what do we need the istikhara for? You know? The conditions that you're giving me before I pray the istikhara is as if, yani, I'm already, I have all the answers. My heart is already perfect.
Wow.
I'm clear-headed. I don't even need the advice because, like, I got it together, you know?
So what were they saying? Like, were they saying what I'm saying, basically?
Your heart cannot be wavering from one side to the other.
Okay.
They were saying you cannot basically be biased to one point of view or the other.
Oh.
That you have to come with absolutely no heart connection to either decision.
Oh.
You have to come with full trust.
Okay, okay.
None of your nuffs. I was like, well, I'm not going to pray anymore. My nuffs is with me all the time. Not only is my nuffs with me, I have this ride or die thing. I'm not sure if you guys have heard about them, but Shaitan.
Oh, no. Yeah. What? So wait a second. She called Shaitan a ride or die? This is criminal. What?
He's there. He's always there. I was like,
this is terrible.
The people who are that he Shaitan is talking to, they don't have my ride or die.
Please don't say that. That's not too bad. A'udhu billah.
I'm being facetious, but seriously, seriously, what I'm saying, I'm pointing to something serious.
Do you know why I'm laughing so much? Because yesterday I had Rufus and Jenny here on the channel. And Rufus was saying, she might ride or die. She might ride or die. And so I'm like, that's coming with a different ride or die here.
No, let me be clear. We women are the essence of the most beautiful ride or die. And I'll give you an example that I was being facetious with the Shaitan example. Yes. I'll give you an example. There was a man, I forget his name. He's a relationship coach. And he was telling women that when you're seeking to get married, he said, if a man says to you, what are you bringing to the table? Okay. Now he used a curse word, so I'm just going to use the initials. He said, you tell him, I am the effing table.
Okay. You know,
we're that ride or die table. See, but we have another one who's an uninvited, unhealthy ride or die. And I say it like that because he doesn't leave you alone.
It's true.
That's why I say that. I'm saying it jokingly.
No, it's true.
And so when I was reading these explanations of the Istikhara, I was like, who are these people who are able to follow this? They don't have their nuffs bothering them. Shaitan. I was like, I need to figure out who these people are and study with them, because like, how do you get him away from you when all of the other humans on earth have this ride or die, you know, monster with them, bothering them all the time? So for me, I had to stop listening to those things. And I remember Allah allowed me to hear one lecture, and I don't remember who it was. And he said one thing. Well, people were asking all these questions. And so they were asking the sheikh, like, or the imam, I don't remember who it was. Like, what is the sign that, like, how do you pray Istikhara, and what's the sign that you should go either way? He said, all you do is you pray Istikhara, you get your advice, you pray Istikhara, and you go with what you truly believe is best. And if it's right, Allah will make it happen. If it's wrong, it won't happen. Simple as that. And next question.
Y'all need to be inviting people to this live. You guys know, tag your friends. Send the live to your friends. Send them so they can come and hear this. We're dropping some truth bombs up in here. Friends. Oh.
Tag your parents and your kids and your neighbors.
Man.
You know, because I have my attention span. I call it, like, for example, for some things, and this is not for that particular thing, but I was just saying for some explanations of Islam, I call it, you know, I don't get into the fiqh acrobatics anymore.
Right.
I think, well, what's clear? What did Allah say? What did the Prophet say? And I don't get into these long, detailed things of simple matters. Now, I know that there are some complex matters that you can't, there's no way to get around it.
Yeah.
But Allah says, you know, call him, and I answer. That's what Istikhara is. You call him, he answers.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, now, to be clear, fear, that's why I, you know, was clarifying in the beginning. Fear is not the same as this gut feeling that something terrible is going to happen. That's different. So if I continuously pray, and I don't know, they're doing that drilling, or we, I don't know what kind of.
We can't hear it. We can't hear
you
it.
You can't hear it? Thank God. May Allah.
Allah what
Alhamdulillah, because I'm like, y'all need new tools, because that's just. So, you know, so subhanAllah, like this is, like, it's like this. Sometimes I will pray istikhara, and I will have this gut feeling, absolutely no. And my heart changes. Like, for example, I had this opportunity to teach at a university, mashallah, really a good university. And it was a dream to me, and I wanted to teach there. And so I was about to leave the job that I was working at that time and go to this. And I remember talking to, I was asking my husband at that time, what do you think? He was like, oh, this is a crazy good opportunity. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I'll pray istikhara. So I was so excited about this was such a good opportunity. It was like that type of feeling where I was almost like, I don't even need to pray. I mean, I would have been laughing, but it was
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. No, no, no. Listen. Don't front, because definitely we've all been there, guys, where you think to yourself, this is a no-brainer. I don't need istikhara for this. Like, this is a no-brainer. This is obviously the best decision, the best thing for me. Yeah.
Exactly. And so that's how I was feeling. I was like, this is obviously good. So I couldn't even, I could barely have khushu. I was like,
Allah, like, let me just tick the box.
I was just like, you know what? But, you know, out of respect for Allah, I'm going to, like, you know, throw in a couple of, you know, but I was trying. I was trying.
Mashallah. But I was like,
oh, is this prayer over so I can send in the yes, you know?
Yeah.
So, and so I was like, and I was so excited. Like, when I got to the, and I was like, and I was like, and as soon as I put my head to this side, my heart changed. Absolutely no.
What?
I was like, whoa. And it scared me.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this? And then I said, you know what? Okay. Is this my fear? But it was like this gut feeling, like, no. Mm. And then I was like, let me talk to my husband and see what he says, because I know he was like, go for it. Mm-hmm. And then I said, I'm going to see, like, does Allah give me another sign through his response?
Yeah.
So I said, hey, I'm about to send in. So I put it like this, you know, I was like, without telling him about the istikhara happened. Because I was like, okay, you know, I'm about to send in my application for the thing. Alhamdulillah. So what do you think? Should I go ahead and send it now? He said, you know what? I don't know. You might want to think about that. Then my, that's it.
That's it.
And that's it. And if I, and then my rule with istikhara is if I begin to have any waswas or doubts after I get what I think is the answer, I pray again.
Okay.
That's right. And then Allah shows me through, you know, the effort. Sometimes it, I mean, doesn't happen. Sometimes it's this gut feeling of, stay away from this. So that's a different type of fear.
Hear that one. Yeah,
that's a gut feeling, like if you do this, a really bad thing is gonna happen. That if that happens, I don't go through it. If it's like this gut feeling. But then, like, the problem when you're going through trials and trauma, like when you haven't healed certain things, you can't tell what's the difference between, like, you know, that the your own anxiety and unhealed wounds are like imposter syndrome.
Oh God, girl, please don't let the psychology come in. Are you triggered? Is it your attachment? Is it, you know, are you projecting? Is it, you know, like something from your past? Is it, like you said, imposter syndrome? Oh my God, how low.
I have to work through it. So for me, so I pray it because I have these things. You know, like I have a lot of things that, which is why I decided to go ahead some years ago, I'm going to start telling my story to heal, because I have a lot of things that I was working through. I'm getting much better now, alhamdulillah. But those woundings were getting in the way of me having clarity of, so I had to keep, and so for me, my habit today is to pray istikhara multiple times, and pretty much I don't recall throughout my life since I started praying istikhara, like when I first heard of it when I was around 20 something. I would say almost every single day of my life since I've been 20 something years old, I've prayed istikhara at least once a day about something.
Wow.
Every almost every single day. And I started that habit because there was a friend of mine who I was in this class with. We were studying Islamic, studies, Quran, Aqidah, all this. It was at the beginning of my journey. And she was saying, and it was a teenager in the class. She was young. And she was just saying, you know what I do? She said, whenever I'm about to pray a sunnah prayer, I always say, ask myself two questions. Do you need to ask Allah about something that you're about to decide? You need to repent for, because you can combine your intentions.
Yes, that's dope. That's a really good hack.
Even if I have forgotten about it, I go ahead and pray Istikhara and our Tawbah. And I said, Subhanallah, I never thought of that. And ever since she said that, may Allah bless her, I've been doing that since I was 20-something years old. So I paused and said, okay, I'm about to pray my sunnah for Fajr, or, you know, even with, you know, Qiyam, you know, one of those sets of two.
Yes, yeah.
Is there anything that I'm about to decide that I have not talked to my creator about first? Anything, even if it's a Facebook post. I say, well, I'm talking to Allah.
Speak to that, boy. Wow. That's amazing. And the thing is, I think another misconception I think we have is that, you know, if we pray istikhara and we do the thing, that everything is going to be okay, that everything is going to work, right?
I wrote about, that's actually one of the videos I'm doing in the course about the healing from divorce, is that one of the things, I share a journal entry, I was saying that istikhara is not our ticket to happily ever after.
And whatever. Say that again for the people in the back.
Yes. And for me, you know, for the fuzz in the back of my brain that makes me forget.
Yeah.
Istikhara. No, I'm saying seriously. It's like, I have to say it loud for the people in the back of your brain. So istikhara is not your ticket to happily ever after in whatever you're asking for. It's not. That is not a part of the prayer. The prayer is saying, if this decision is going to be best for my life, my hereafter, basically for the life of this world and my soul in the hereafter, okay? Then basically my life and soul. That's how I summarize it.
Yeah.
Then bring it forward. And what you realize is that the things that are best for you in this life come with a lot of pain. Usually, it's not the exception. Whenever you have something that's good for you in this world, it comes with a lot of pain. And I had an epiphany the other day. I was like, there are two famous, I'm not going to say they're the only ones. There are two famous ayahs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about ease, especially when we're seeking something. It's either in one of two cases. It is coming with that hardship or after it. I never saw Allah just promise you're just going to get all of this and nothing else is going to come along. He's telling you this is that the ease is going to come with a hardship or after a hardship. Or you're going to be tested, and then you're going to have loss. And you're going to have this. He doesn't say, you know, I'm going to give you all of this easy life. Just remember me. He says, he said he bestows on whom he wills without any bighayri hisab. And he will test you with loss of wealth, loss of lives, and even within your own nafs. He will put a fitna inside of you that you have to deal with. This is in the Quran. This is the life. So when we pray istikhara, now the ending gives you the hint of the rahmah. He doesn't say make it the happiest decision. He said make my heart. Basically, I want to be pleased with it.
Yeah.
Because the pleased with it, and this is where some people get, they say, but Allah said no. See, pleased with it is I can be crying due to pain, but my heart is like, I submit to you.
I accept.
I accept it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Girls, we are in the holocaust right now, okay? We are blues. Y'all hear me right now? Dust up in hell. You better invite your friends. You better invite your wife. Invite your kids. You better send this live to somebody because you know someone needs to hear this. La ilaha illallah. Mainly me. But hey, wow, man. That's so deep. I don't normally say that so deep because it's a bit of a silly thing to say, but that is deep. That is deep. Subhanallah. Wow.
The lesson's hard learned, you know.
Sis, subhanallah, I love you for the sake of Allah, wallahi nadeem.
The one for whom you love me, love you, and I love you too. Subhanallah.
Oh, you know how Allah just like blesses us with just people on that journey. And you and I have only ever seen each other, met in person once. Yeah. But Allah has allowed our paths to continually cross and cross again and cross. I love you for the sake of Allah, seriously.
We go way back.
We do.
I remember, and we connected years before we ever saw each other.
Yeah.
And it's a mercy. And I remember something that really moved me is when you were saying, it's sajda after you had lost your husband. You said, do the sajda. And I said, oh Allah, like that is such a beautiful act. Make me remember this. And it moved me so much because it reminded me to just do the sajda, and it's helped me through a lot of hard times. Is that, and this is a rule I have now, specifically when I'm going through a hard time, even the tiniest good, even if I look at my, like if I'm feeling sad and I look and I have a few more Instagram followers or one, I make sajda because I said, maybe Allah, you brought this for barakah. So I make sajda to shukr. You know, if, you know, I start feeling anxiety and I'm like, sometimes I wake up and I'm like, is my daughter okay? Yeah. You know, I have my own little trauma. I go check on her. She's like 20 something years old.
I know, she's a big girl.
Come on, Umi, can I have some sleep? But I'm like, okay, she's okay. But if I had the feeling of anxiety, I go and I make sajda to shukr that I saw her okay, because for some reason because I was thinking, what if, you know, it was the opposite, it would be a terrible thing. So let me do sajda to shukr that my daughter's okay. Things like this.
Subhanallah, that's just, that's on another level, sis. Subhanallah. Okay, we could probably stay here for another hour.
Oh yeah. Sorry.
Inshallah, this is the first of many. Maybe we'll collaborate and do like a series or something, inshallah. I know the people who've been watching now have really, really benefited, mashallah, as have I. So a couple of words about our session on Saturday and why should people come and join us at the Black Muslim Festival?
I mean, it's time to heal, you know? And it's time to be inspired by each other's healing journey. And it's also time for those of people who are not Black to just humbly come with a heart open to being a part of this family of the Ummah. So, and the reason why I'm saying that is that we don't think about it. You know, a lot of people who are not Black don't think about it, that Black people are constantly showing up in predominantly Arab Desi spaces because it's something of benefit. And even when we know, okay, the talk may be about, you know, some of the trials in Palestine and all this, and even though we know Palestine has a unique place in all of our hearts, but then we forget that when other people are suffering, we're part of that one body. So if you count yourself as a part of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then come and humbly be there for your own healing, even if you're not Black.
Yeah.
Because truly, what I experienced in that session, anybody with a soul and a heart just minimally alive could have benefited from that session.
Yeah, yeah. And we do have non-Black Muslims who were there, and they were shooketh. They were so nourished by that space. And continue, obviously, amazing conversations are still taking place in the Facebook group, and people are watching those videos and sharing resources. And Subhanallah. I hear you.
And I will share this thing that I shared in that session, and I'll share it again because I think the audience will benefit from it. It's not the poem. I'm not going to read that long poem. They can go and listen to
the, I'm going to put a swipe up link, inshallah, in my stories for the
video. Yeah, they can watch that video. But I want to read the ayah because what we need to do is we need to prepare our hearts, black or non-black, to heal so that we can imbibe the rahmah of this deen. Okay? And if we don't do the healing, and by the way, the healing is not just for the black people. This is something that Dr. Joy DeGry was talking about in the This is a trauma that white people have too, post-traumatic slave syndrome.
Yeah.
And there's all going on in many countries. Now, I don't know if anyone coined that term, but I'm saying borrowing from Dr. Joy DeGry. And what I've learned in my own journey and what I've seen even over and over, even in my studies of Quran, as I'm healing, Allah just brings all these different meanings to your heart as you keep interacting with the Quran, is that if you don't take the journey of healing and support other people, especially when you know that these things of anti-blackness is in the thread of your culture, whether you're black or not.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not going to be able to experience what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about in this ayah, which I shared in the group. It's a very short ayah. It's in Surah Al-Anbiya, which is the translated as the prophets. And this is a Surah 21, ayah 107. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmah, rahmatan lil alamin. And the translation of the meaning is that, and we have not sent you, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except as a rahmah, a mercy to all of the worlds. And when you don't heal, whether it's on the side of being the oppressor or dealing with racist concepts, you might think the Islam is just a rahmah for you because you're Arab. You might think that the Islam is a rahmah for you because you're a man. Yeah. You might think Islam is a rahmah for you because, hey, I dress like I'm supposed to, so I don't know what's going on with y'all.
Ooh.
You don't know that this is a rahmah for every single part of the creation, even the part that doesn't submit. So you can't feel that. And when you don't heal, so this is why you need to come.
Yeah.
Because this is a space of bi'idhnillah, awakening in our hearts to be open to imbibe the rahmah of Allah through collective healing.
La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah.
That's what it is.
That's the word right there.
And I'm going to say one thing. I usually don't say this, but this is especially to my non-black brothers and sisters. I want you to consider something. Allah might ask you why you didn't show up. And I'm just saying this, I don't usually do this, but I feel comfortable because it's not my conference, so I have no stake. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm just saying, because if it's mine, I will feel shy to do this.
Yeah, like I'm not going to say that. Like,
no, I'm going to say it because it's not mine. Allah might ask you why you didn't show up, because there's a type of ignorance that is excused and there's a type of ignorance that is sinful. And the type of ignorance that is sinful is that when Allah, because remember, it's not Naima B. Robert who decreed this conference. She's a vessel. She's a vessel. So when Allah gave this conference to you as an opportunity to learn, and you decide not to, and then after this conference, you begin to behave in a way that is unintentionally in ignorance, harming your black brothers and sisters in faith, where's your excuse?
I think that, I don't even want to say too much, guys, because you know what you said there about this is not my thing. It's not your thing. It's not my thing. Sisters, arrogance is a spiritual disease and we all need healing. Amen to that. So non-Black Muslims have to absorb and understand the place of Black sisters and brothers in heritage and in our heritage, shared heritage, and our history. And the thing is, I hope, inshallah, we've taken the initiative to heal collectively through this space, right? But the reality is, we all need to heal, as you're saying. We all need to heal. And for different things. For some of us, it's a race issue. For some people, it's actually a gender issue. For some people, it's cultural. For some people, it's generational trauma. Because if you look at the majority of Muslims come from countries where there has been turbulence, where there has been turmoil, where there has been oppression, where there, you know, escaping from those countries, having to start again in a new place. SubhanAllah, there's a lot that we have yet to learn and to unlearn and to relearn. And I love what you said. To be honest, I want to just shut up now because what you said was literally everything, mashallah. And I hope, inshallah, you know, to see you on some more of the panels. We will do another healing circle later at the end of the month, inshallah. So it'll be wonderful to welcome you again. And
right. Yeah. And I wanted to add that all of those traumas you mentioned, some people have all of them, or many of them, all together.
Yeah, it's true. So this is just the forerunner. This is just like an introduction. But inshallah, it's possible. You know, healing is possible. So Zakia, I just want to thank you. Go on.
I want to add this one thing. For all Muslims, regardless of whether you're non-Black or not, we also need to step up in taking more proactive steps in supporting each other. Because I'm just going to say this because it's not mine, but I know because I do similar work as Naima B. Robert. This isn't easy to put this type of stuff together. I'm telling the truth.
Oh, gosh.
And we need to be more proactive in intentionally supporting each other, no matter how we feel. We have to get out of the habit of, oh, I don't feel like it, but you have time to Netflix and chill. You have time to binge watch. We'll be like halfway asleep watching your show. But when it comes to our fellow brothers and sisters in faith, we got to check all types of permission slips in our brain and life before we say maybe. And that's another thing we'll be asked about, because a lot of platforms and companies and initiatives have fallen through, and I've experienced it personally in my life just because of lack of support.
SubhanAllah.
And we need to be better. Now, it doesn't mean every single time there's an event you have to go to that event, but check your heart when you decide to say no. And here's my challenge. If Allah puts in your heart, maybe, and you decide no, pray istikhara before you make that final decision.
I like that. That is gold right there. That is, mashallah, gold. Guys, please go and follow Zakia. Support her work, buy her books, join her her online community, inshallah. I think you'll find much, much benefit there, bi-ibnillah. The event is online, sincerely, Hani. You can follow us at Black Muslim Festival on Instagram. It's in my stories and it's in my bio as well. Event is the whole month, every weekend, inshallah, until the end of October. And it is, you can get a free festival pass. And so, yeah, mashallah. We have a lot of great events this weekend, mainly around marriage, parenting, family, polygamy, all that good stuff.
But it's necessary, and may Allah put barakah in all of it, because it all needs to be done.
And
I love how you phrased it, and I never seen this done in a conference before. You said doing polygamy right I've never, ever, and I have to just say this, this is the truth. I've never, ever seen polygamy in a conference addressed in, from the positive angle.
Really?
Never.
Wow, okay. It's all
problems and this and who, you know, what, how, you know. And I said, you know what? May Allah put barakah in this, because that's the right attitude when it comes to something that Allah loves.
Very true. You know? Very true. Mm.
People are messing, doing a lot of wrong with it.
Yeah.
But whenever the adab is when Allah speaks well of something, we should speak well of it. And when we have to deal with a problem, we address it from the point of it's a blessing. So how do we get back to the blessing? Not here's.
Oh my God! What? La ilaha illallah. This is just, oh my God, that is so, that's just everything is so on point. That is so on point. Okay, so someone needs to listen to this video and literally just put all the quotes in the comments, okay? Because this should be like a whole Twitter feed, really. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Sis, you know I would love to just talk for the rest of the, another hour. But
don't worry.
You go, inshallah, have some breakfast. And yes. You know, maybe who knows, guys, if you want it enough, maybe Umzakia and I will do a series together, inshallah. If you do, put a yes in the comments, and we'll see what we can hook up, inshallah. But for now, get yourselves over to Black Muslim Festival on Instagram, get your festival pass, buy your tickets so you can attend the all access pass talks this weekend. We've got what have we got? We've got Village Auntie. She is going to be teaching us about reclaiming female sexuality on Saturday night. What are you doing on Saturday night? Okay.
Oh my God. I have classes I teach too. And so I saw some of the sessions. I said, you know what? That's okay. I got my login.
Yes,
I was
you
like,
do.
Looking out, good looking
You're
out.
You're going to be there, inshallah. The other thing that's exciting for the ticket holders is Habiba Kande is doing an Islamic approach to female pleasure class for men only.
Thank you.
Yes. So that's going to be good. We've got the Getting Polygamy Right talk. We've got how to raise our children for successful marriages. We've got a homeschooling conversation, homeschooling as a revolutionary act, which is going to be interesting. Then awesome. We've got a conversation about Black love. We have a conversation about mixed marriages. We have a conversation about raising the next generation upon deen and with, you know, like their sense of identity intact. So it's going to be a packed weekend, mashallah.
Woo! You all, please come to this. Get your pass. No problem, get the free pass, but go ahead and get that. What is it called? All access pass?
All access pass, yeah. If you get go to the free festival pass, on the next page, you get a chance to upgrade if you want to, inshallah.
Love it. Love
yeah,
it.
Mashallah. Thank you guys for the love. Sis is like, get out. I love you. Alhamdulillah. All right, guys, it's been absolutely amazing. Thanks so much for rocking with us. Umzakia, I love you for the sake of Allah. And I pray this is not the last time that we do this. May Allah preserve you. May Allah protect you. May Allah bless you. And I will see you on the weekend, inshallah.
Yes, inshallah. I think I have my session, I think, is the author session is next.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
I have to check the calendar, sorry.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, alhamdulillah. So may the one for whom you love me love you, and may Allah give you and everyone who attended this live and the conference, amen. Jannah bi ghairi hisab, forgive our sins and help us be better, compassionate sisters and brothers to each other until we reach Jannah, ya Rabb.
Ameen, ameen. Jazakallah khairan, sis. Okay, guys, assalamu alaikum, sis.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.